Dating today isn't just messy, it's a battlefield. On this episode of Digital Dating, we are cutting through the noise. If you think you know modern love, think again. Welcome to the Digital Dating Podcast with Anonymous Andrew. And today I'd like to welcome Philip Kionis. And I think I pronounced that right. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And I'll just mention briefly a couple of things and then Philip will fill in the blanks. He is a mental health counselor or therapist. He has a master's degree in it. He is an author. He wrote a book called Marriage Counseling, which is available on Amazon, and he owns or runs a coaching business called PQ Coaching. So, Philip, you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into this? And
yeah, of course. So I have always been in tune with wanting to care for really real things, things that people really go through, the experiences that they have. And I've noticed based on my upbringing, having an older mom, being an older child, kind of having an old soul and perspective about things, I've able to notice human behavior from the outside. So interacting socially with people has always been my weakest point, objectively, because I've not had as much social interactions. But with that being said, it allowed me to observe people and see their behaviors, their responses, their reactions from a micro level personally, one-on-one with people, to groups of people, to being on different teams, growing up in different sports settings, to classroom sizes and the interactions with that. And in the macro, as I got more interested in the rest of the world with different people, ethnicities, cultures, nationalities, all those different types. And so throughout my professional career and my personal career, I've had people in the educational field, in the human behavior field, in the psychology field. And it just so happens that after I graduated undergrad, I then pursued becoming a therapist when I did an audit on myself. And so I said, what can I do day in and day out that if I wasn't being paid for it, I would still do it? What do I value and feel fulfilled with? And almost kind of aligning with what my purpose is. And I knew that was to really help people through very challenging moments in their life, try to be able to be kind to people, try to challenge people to be the best versions of themselves. And so I've been doing that on and off now for about 3 years now. And so I've been doing psychotherapy, like I said, with individuals, couples, and families for a while. And I'm going to continue to do that. And then personally, I want to be able to grow and be more of a speaker, host more workshops, work with different individuals all across the globe, promoting my coaching and consulting business. So I work with individuals there, and I want to specialize in working with couples. And that brought me to write my first book that I published not too long ago called Marriage Counseling, Expert Advice for a Strong and Lasting Relationship. So that is on Amazon as well as there's a link in it through my website. So that's kind of where I've ended up and how I got to this point.
Great. Okay. Let's get right into, let's just say, couples counseling for now. We're going to kind of put the cart before the horse. What is the biggest trend that you're seeing in couples, marriage, either married or together? Because I think a lot of people are either living together or I don't know the statistics if the marriage trend is going down, but I know the divorce rate is going up. What do you see as the biggest issue that comes between couples?
Yeah, great question, Andrew. It starts with dating, and my unpopular opinion about dating is that there's actually nothing wrong with dating. The difference is that it doesn't correlate to how to have fulfilling relationships with people. And so people think that dating and how they go about dating equates to having an adequate and fulfilling and purposeful relationship with another human being, usually in a romantic sense. So what do I mean by that? That nothing is wrong with dating? Well, if you actually look at how we kind of came about to a modern day of dating, dating, in my unpopular opinion, which offends a lot of people because they don't look at this objectively, and that is, dating is a way for exchanges of sex with goods and services, and it's legal. So people don't understand that it is a glorified way to legalize prostitution. It is. And people don't look at it that way because they're like, oh, that's not the same thing, because I'm not directly paying for somebody to give me sex. Most of the time, men to women. But it's no different if I bought you an ice cream and I had sex with you after, or if we were just holding hands in a park and you offered me to do that for free, and I just paid you $5 to do it. The $5 doesn't matter where it comes from. It's still an exchange of goods and services. So if you look at a wisdom standpoint of how we have come about this way of dating, the oldest profession, if you had to objectively think about what was like the first profession that we have ever had in this part of our humanity and our evolution, and it has always been the safety and exchange between women's want to be nurtured and protected in order in exchange for goods and services. That is it. And so that is just now modernized, and that's what dating is. And so the issue is that people think that now that you have modernized the way for women to exchange sex in order for goods and services, you don't think that that's different. But it's not different at all. It's just now that it's really legal and it's modernized. So nothing is wrong with dating, but people don't sit back and say, oh, wow, there is some type of correlation to going and behaving in this social practice that doesn't end up having a formidable relationship. And people don't understand. Nothing is wrong with dating. Dating is sex in exchange for goods and services. And you may have a good time. You may go in a Ferris wheel. You may go to a restaurant, go to your favorite movie, buy flowers, buy chocolates, do whatever. You are exchanging money in order for sex and goods and services. It's just legalized and it's capitalized on you because it's a business. But what people don't understand about this business is that that is not the way it is supposed to be when it comes to a relationship. And people think that when they're dating, that they're trying to form relationships. No, dating is an exchange. That's all it is. It doesn't equate to a formidable relationship. And that's what people really get wrong. And that entails different social movement problems. That entails different economics. That entails looking at the past tradition of family structures and laws compared to what they are now. And people don't think about that when it comes to dating in general. So nothing is actually wrong with dating whatsoever. People have a problem to think that there is a correlation with finding the right person through dating to have a good relationship. And that's not true.
I don't even know how to respond to that. But I agree with you to a certain extent. Okay. Let's go back, I don't know, 100 years, where the old-fashioned, traditional, whatever, the man courts a woman, and you're right, the woman is looking for a man to nurture her, keep her safe, put a roof over her head, and also bear his children and raise them, and until maybe the 1960s or 70s. Women were homemakers, I was born in 1960, and I remember watching all these TV shows where the father was out working and the mom was home. Right. The Brady Bunch, just take the Brady Bunch, something like that.
House, golden retriever.
Thank you. Yes, I And that has all begun to change when women started burning their bras back in the 60s and during the one of the largest feminism movements.
Yes.
Woodstock, and after that.
Correct.
And all the glass ceiling and all that. And when women started going to work and getting jobs, and especially today, and now let's bring it to the current modern day, many households need two incomes just to survive. So
correct.
The woman is working, and the father, husband is working.
Yeah.
But the only place that I don't know if I can be on the same bandwagon is if a couple, and I'm old fashioned. So if I start dating a woman, and I have admitted this and I have done this, I'm not looking for sex on the first date, second date, third date, or even the fourth date. I personally, because the way I was brought up, don't want to get into bed with the woman until I really know her intimately.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm saying that, I have flashbacks of my alcoholic days where that didn't necessarily occur. But now that I'm sober, I'm looking to date. I'm out there. I'm dating women, and I haven't had sex in 2 years, and I've gone on, I don't know, 36 dates. You know, I'm not. So what do you say to that, where somebody, and I may be old fashioned or traditional, and I know that the younger generation, they are hooking up like when Tinder came along, it was all about just hookups, right? I don't even think there was an exchange of money. Like when, if you met somebody on Tinder and they hooked up, they didn't go to a restaurant first. They didn't go to a Ferris wheel. They met up in Manhattan or wherever the city was, and they fucked.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. My opinion on that is, you mentioned social movement and structures. So as a woman throughout time and in different nations and in different time periods, in order for her to have some type of status growth, yes, traditionally you would have to be married and have a man. And so again, it provided protection for you. As even now, even in the 60s, when you had different type of laws, you had different type of social practices, especially in America, you still had to have a man to have that way of having status and protection for yourself. So the reasoning behind relationships was one, and always will be, for reproduction purposes, to have children. That is the fundamental thing that people miss too. So it is still a taboo for that to be the forefront and foundation for a relationship, which is sex. Okay. Whether you morally want to have it in a right way, whether it's religiously, whether it's just because you really care about somebody, that's fine. But the fundamentalness is eventually you want to have sex with them, even if it's for the right reasons.
Yeah.
The other part of that is saying, when social movements come along, one of the things that feminists don't really look at is, if any type of social movement happens and it's a way to empower somebody who has not been powered, that also comes with the other side either benefiting or not benefiting from that. So if you want to have sexual liberation in a social movement, and say, okay, I can make my own finances now. There are no federal laws that are stopping me from having my own self-sufficiency. Great. Nobody's opposed to that. The other part is, if I'm able to have sexual liberation, that also means that men get to benefit from your sexual liberation. So it works for you because it empowers you and it's awesome and I can do what I want with my body. You're perfectly right about that. But that also comes with the behaviors and responses that men come forward with that. So if I don't have to invest in you or marry you in order to get the fundamental thing that I want, which is to have sex with you, don't be upset about that. Because aren't you liberated? Don't you can allow promiscuity? You can dress the way that you want to. Awesome. I'm happy for you. But as a man on the other side of that, that means that there's probably going to be less respect. That probably means that, wow, like if more women are doing this, it's going to be probably hard to find somebody that I want to stay with long term. If you know that that is a practice of dating where I am conditioned that even if I don't think about it, I am exchanging money and time for this woman. And that may not always work out. So all I know I have to do is quote unquote wine and dine. And that's all the things that I have to do in order to get what I want. So social movements are a big thing because, yes, it rocketed women rightfully in order to have their own self-sufficiency. But that also means that the other side adapted to that. And so what's happening now dating in the modern Western world is that you want to have the old school benefits of how the old structure used to be, which was courting, waiting, intertwined with family, have different social practices of maybe religion, like or marrying under a vow. Those were ways in order to have, I guess, old school ways of access to sex. But you don't want to understand that those modern ways can't be done if you are now changing the behaviors that equate to what sex and relationships are supposed to be. It just can't work. Because then how do men benefit from that? So you want the chivalry, you want the dates, you want the flowers, you want the a man to be a man, but you don't want the negatives that also come with that in modern age, because you still want to be sexually liberated and you still want to have your own independency of how you want to go about things. Well, that'll be really hard to have a relationship with somebody, especially with men who are noticing this type of behavioral change. Why would they have to still stay the same if they're not going to benefit the same way? And if their benefit can be quicker and not as risk taking by having to marry somebody in order to get that, in order to have family structure, I don't have to marry you to have sex. Because again, another woman is willing to give me that. I don't have to risk getting divorced because that doesn't necessarily benefit me at a federal level. I don't have to risk bearing children that I really don't have to bear with because laws can support you financially. If I'm already paying for that, I can also probably pay for this. So there's no incentive for men to really change based on these social movements. But that's why dating is so hard, because women don't really look at it that way. Most men don't look at it that way. But it takes you stepping back and saying, why are these changes happening? And that's the way that I've concluded in my own opinion of why that is.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack. And I'm following the bouncing ball. So I'm on a dating profile. Pick any dating app, all right? Any of the most, like 10 or 12 of the top popular ones. And I'm swiping and I'm looking and I'm reading profiles. And I do read profiles. I know a lot of men just look at the pictures.
Yes.
What I'm seeing today, and I'm hearing in my circle of podcasts, family in the dating world, is there's all of a sudden all these barriers coming up, which are called deal breakers. So for example, I'm looking at a woman's profile. There's a beautiful woman. She's 10 miles away. She checks many of the boxes until she gets to her political view.
Okay.
All right. So if right in the profile, it'll say, if you are conservative or voted for Trump, swipe left. Or I've seen the opposite. You know, if you are a liberal, don't even contact me. Okay. And I have seen down to, if you don't have a valid passport, don't contact me.
Yes.
There's like a laundry list of deal breakers that I see women putting up. Almost as if like they want to narrow it down to that one man that doesn't exist.
Yes. Yeah. So when you're dating, a strong perspective to have is, if you do not agree on political views, you don't agree on religious views, and you don't agree on probably marriage or wanting to legally bond yourself to your government, you're probably not going to last. I don't care if you come to my office and that's something that you didn't know before. I'm like, nope, I'm sorry. I can deal with a lot of stuff, but you cannot decide that one of you wants to be Christian, one of you wants to be Muslim, one of you wants to be married, one of you don't. Oh, children. One of you wants to have children, one of you don't. One of you is Republican and the other is you is Democrat. I have seen in my practice, in my novice stage, and then also statistically, those are huge deal breakers. So those are formidable, tangible ways to narrow your wants of a partner. And that's totally fair. The other things you have mentioned when it comes down to this nitty and gritty is this is why it is still dating. It's not trying to have a relationship, because the more you realize that the gestures or the tangible measurements of somebody's worth, the less that you're going to probably connect with them, the less vulnerability there is going to be, and probably a short amount of time for that relationship to really last. And that is extremely hard, because with the access of internet or modern dating and me being able to date a girl all the way across the world whenever I want, or get on a plane to have access to that person whenever I want, that also means that I'm not incentivized to have to sacrifice. That also means that I'm not incentivized to have to change myself and change enough in order to accompany another human being. And so one of the things that I even mentioned to my girlfriends is asking, what do you know about this man? And they will say, well, he did this, he did that, he has this. No. I'm not asking what he has. I'm not asking what he does. I'm not asking where he lives and what he drives and how much he makes. I'm asking, what do you know about him? What is his fears? What is his scary moments in life? How does he handle conflict? How did he grow up? What is his character? You're not even given that an opportunity because you don't like the height of somebody.
Right.
You don't like the place of date that he chose. You don't like how much he spent. You don't like his job title. Sitting there going,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're stopping yourself from an opportunity because you are so programmed to dating and what dating entails that you struggle and nobody is sitting you down structuring how to have a formidable and bond with another human being, especially a man. And so that is the issue that we're seeing. And I'm telling you, that is why I'm focusing on couples, because I know in the next 20 years, that is going to be the most divorced, the most single parent, and then the most psychological phenomenon when it comes to symptoms of either anxiety and depression. I am predicting that with this type of group of people, because people are so isolated and are struggling so much of how to connect with somebody, but nobody is sitting them down and teaching them how to connect and what it really means to build that. So that way you could possibly be like the generation before. You could be like when it was in the 60s. You could be your grandparents, or if you have good sets of parents, like your parents with decades of a good relationship. Not a perfect one, but a good one. Nobody is sitting down doing that because it's this very superficial way of trying to connect with human beings. And it's a business. It makes money off of you, but it's not sitting there wanting you to be successful, because if you were successful, you wouldn't use any of the products or service. You got to think about that too.
And I agree with everything you just said, especially the fact that you're predicting something in 20 years. I think it's already started. I think you probably know that already, that there are more people who are single, more divorces are happening, and there are more single parents. Yeah. And so, in 20 years, I think the institution of marriage is going to be either non-existent or something. It'll be like people will talk about marriage like the old days. I want to throw a concept at you that I'm seeing in my interviews and listening on the podcast. There is an insurgence of polyamory. Okay. All of a sudden, couples are wanting to have multiple partners in a relationship. It's either called ethical non-monogamy or it's called polyamory. So now, when I was growing up, threesomes were not uncommon. I've had threesomes, but they were under very unusual circumstances, or it was just like, I shouldn't even say this, but I had a partner that we did that once in a while, just to test it, just to see what it was like, but it wasn't something. Today, it's becoming a lifestyle for many couples. Why is that?
Great question.
I should have told you this is a curveball coming.
Great question. I think one of them is you have a movement of sexual liberation. That's just the only way that I can really think of it on the top of my head, is that you have a movement of sexual liberation. And with sexual liberation comes different exploratory methods that are more acceptable in modern age compared to when they were. Because these things were around. Like, we didn't reinvent the wheel. The Greeks, the Romans, people did a lot of nasty stuff growing up. It just wasn't captured on video. It wasn't documented. But yeah, like, people have to realize that our ancestors were needed to be very sexual. Because you have to think about it, even the amount of years that somebody would live was short.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother, and I think maybe her parents, having a lot of stillborns or having miscarriages. And there wasn't any way that you could go about it. So you're like, well, grandma or great grandma had 20 kids, but maybe only 10 of them survived. So that means that they needed to have a lot of sex, like a lot of sex for us to get to 8 billion plus people. So with that being said, you think that people didn't try different things and different ways? Like, indigenous people have groups, and indigenous people have one man with many women or one woman with many men.
Polygamy.
Yeah. So with all that being said, it's only now that it's modern that it's able to be shown to be acceptable. But groups of people were always doing this in silence. You know, people that were accepted for being trans or gay or whatever the case may be, but now they get to be that way. And they were always trying to do stuff. And so with that being said, you have to think about it like this. Like, one of the things that I've noticed, especially with the gay community, is that getting access to sex within the gay community as a male, I don't know about females, but as a male, is a lot. Like, it's just understood. You know why it's understood? Because you have two men that have testosterone.
Yeah.
So it's already understood of what we want. So it's not a lot of discussion.
No, there isn't. You're right.
So there's no wine and dine. We know what we want. We know how we have to do it. I ain't got to lie to you. I ain't got to date you. I ain't got to buy you ice cream. That's what I want to do. And I have a lot of friends that are like that, that do that. So, because you have testosterone. So people are willing to try being polyamorous or polygamous or whatever the case may be, because it's an acceptance of what was already there. It's just that now it's just being exposed. It's having its light of day. More people are entwined with that.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I have not come across a polyamorous or polygamous couple yet, but I know that's definitely coming too. And I have to learn about that. And so people have a spirit to want to connect with multiple people. People can now have people for certain things. People can distinguish romance and love for lust. And as long as you have open communication, understanding, and trust, and stay healthy and stay safe, I see more to you. So it's always been there. It's just never.
Right. I agree 100%. It's always been there, but it was taboo, and it was something So when I did it back in the 80s, I didn't run out and tell my friends, or even there was no social media, so I couldn't even go on social media. Today, as a matter of fact, this morning, I couldn't believe this. I was up at 6 a.m. and I was having my coffee, going through TikTok, and there was a video. And a woman came on and said, if you want to make your man happy, you have to feed him a list of things just to make him happy. Rub his feet, blah, blah, blah. Make sure you give him enough blowjobs. And then she said, and then bring another woman home once in a while. And I was like, I couldn't believe what I was reading. And it was another woman saying this. If this is how you, if you want, this is how you should treat your man. And I don't know, maybe that I'm old fashioned, but if I was dating somebody and I was, I don't even know if I want to go there. But if my girlfriend that I was committed with all of a sudden showed up one night with a girlfriend and said, hey, I brought you home a present, I might not want that. That's not what I want. If I wanted to be with multiple women, I wouldn't be in a committed relationship. So anyway, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. But I think you're right. I think it's just something that's accepted today. So you see more and more about it. There's websites, there's clubs, there's all, you know, like these sex clubs are popping up and they're legal and people are going to them. And I had somebody on my show not too long ago who was into ethical non-monogamy, and her husband every other weekend or so would go out to a club and come home with another couple or whatever. And so it's something that's, I think you're right. It's always been there, but it's now more acceptable.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay. All right. So we kind of covered the dating apps. I am having issues meeting people in the real world, and I'm getting out there. So obviously you can't meet people in the real world unless you're in the world, right? So you got to go to something that's social or shopping or whatever. And I'm noticing a pattern with people that they don't want to be approached. And I had a theory that a year ago, we were just coming out of COVID. Everybody was either vaccinated or not, but they lifted all the restrictions back in what, 23 maybe ish. And I think COVID, we lived through 2 years of that where we were told to stay 6 feet apart, or you can't go to grandma's house, or even in the supermarket, there was an arrow down the only people could go one way, but all that stuff. And I think a lot of the people, I still see people walking around with masks today, and a mask to me means don't come near me, don't approach me. So do you have any perspective or take on why people don't want to be approached in the real world?
Well, I think one of the things that I consider when it comes to clients, and then also people need to do this for themselves, is understand culture. Culture is not just about American culture and beer and whiskey and hunting, or Asian culture when it comes to traditions and taking off shoes or honoring somebody, or Hispanics celebrating Cinco de Mayo or the Day of the Dead, whatever the case may be. It's not about that. That's what people think when they think culture. Culture is anything that entices a group. So you can have sneaker culture, you can have car culture, you can have iPhone culture, you can have a TV show culture. All of those are cultures. But within a culture, there is a spectrum of individualistic all the way to collectivist. So when people on the Western side of the world, behind, I think, Germany, if, correct me if I'm wrong, the United States is the second most individualistic nation in the world. So it's about me, myself, and I. So it's about what I think, what I feel, what I want to do, self-made, pull yourself up by your boots, fix your own problems. You don't need anybody else. How could you ask for help? If you didn't make it by yourself, Like, then you really weren't self whatever. It's so incredibly toxic to behave that way. And so because you behave in that type of way, you turn people off because one person may like being approached. The other person might say F off. The other person might be very shy and they want to be talked to. They just don't know how to communicate that they want to be talked to. And then some people may be open and say, hey, you want to come along to this? And they're like, great. And then some people are like, how dare you invite me? Can't you see that I'm busy and time is money and I have things to do. How could you do that?
Oh, so,
so with that social interaction and individualistic mindset, you get people that aren't socializing as much. And so with that being said, that also is an increasing mental health problem, which is isolation. Isolation is, I think, one of the top symptoms behind depression and anxiety. And so that loneliness, people wonder why that is. It's because we're meant to interact with each other. You and I can't even be born by ourselves. It takes people right. to create life, and it takes people to sustain life. And so we are so meant to socialize. And on the collectivistic side of that spectrum, they understand that, hey, we're having a barbecue. Come on in. The door's open. Hey, you're on the street and you're partying. We're going to dance together. Hey, you need support or you need help? Here is something of a resource for you. Hey, you need a good cooked meal? Here. Hey, you need to do agriculture together or do business together? We're going to talk about it and do it in person. So there's a lot of group stuff, group inclusion, and care for other people. But you don't see that on the other side of the world because you're from an individualistic culture. But so that's what's so rich about the rest of the world compared to us is that they're so community oriented with their people right. that they don't experience as if you can talk to so-and-so. They don't say, you can't come over or don't talk to me or it's me, myself, and I. No, it's we and us. It's we and us and our compared to how people talk of me, myself, and I. So that's probably why you're getting those type of interactions with people. But I say keep pushing forward because you would think that people don't want that, but people are more lonely in the Western side of the world than ever. And it's really heartbreaking, actually.
It's a paradox that I'm facing because I'm hearing I was at the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and there is a woman that I see there every week. I go at 11:15 every Saturday morning. It's just something I do because I go to my meetings in the morning and whatever. And this woman shows up at the same time every week that I do. So she must be on her schedule. And she's beautiful. And I've been watching her and I'm studying her because I'm trying to figure out. And for the podcast, I talk on the weekends. I do a solo episode where I tell the audience about my dating life.
Okay.
And I was working up, I'm going to say it, the courage to approach this woman. But one day I wasn't quite sure how old she was because I want to make sure that I'm not asking a 30-year-old out because she looked young. But when I got close enough, she was maybe 40, 45. Anyway, before I could do anything, I was in the meat section. Another guy hit on her. He approached her. She ran so fast. I was about 10 feet away and I heard him say something like a pickup line. Like, what do you think about this? I don't remember what it was, but I'm just like, he said something to her and she looked at him, mumbled something and turned and hightailed it like out of there. Like she was afraid or she wanted to get away from him. And I witnessed somebody who literally did not want to be approached. Now, I don't know. Maybe she's married. Maybe she's gay. Maybe she's just enjoys single life or doesn't want to be picked up in the grocery store. But then I listen to another podcast that I listen to, and it's run by two women, and they're talking about why don't men approach us more often? So there's a paradox that I'm seeing where I'm watching women run, but then I'm hearing that women are saying, why don't you guys come talk to us? It's just, I don't think there's a question in there. I would just wanted to make a statement.
I can agree to that. I mean, for me, as somebody who goes after what he wants in life, your need to protect yourself from other people is very important. But at the same time, as somebody who is naturally somebody who would go after it and knows that closed mouths don't get fed, even if I gave you the opportunity and you said no, I would say, okay. And the difference is that I was going to go about my business in the first place. So I'm not tied to the outcome of interacting with you. And again, it can be the next aisle. There might be another opportunity where somebody says yes. And so you have to imagine that you're not going to be able to have all the interactions with all the women in the world. That's impossible. But you can have a lot of good interactions with people if you increase your volume. But if you don't tie the outcome of the interaction, but the genuineness of wanting to socially exchange with somebody without having to have a goal in mind, you're probably more likely to still do it. And so that type of woman, you would sit there and go, well, she didn't want to be approached and I have to move on to the next one. And it sucks that she felt that way. And there may be other women on the podcast saying, why don't men approach us? Well, I still know that the right woman is going to interact with me. And that's okay, because there's an ample amount of them around you. So don't tie it to the outcome of saying, I wanted this one and if she didn't, whatever. But no, like if...
Like I said, I don't know her story. I don't know anything about it. It just seemed to me that she didn't want to be approached by a man. And
then let her be.
Like, yeah, no. And as a matter of fact, I ran into her yesterday again. And same thing. She was just, I've never seen somebody shop so fast. She's up and down the aisles and she's just throwing things in her basket. So she might be a manic type person, or she's on a time. I don't know. She could be on a, on a schedule, like she needs to be, whatever, you get what I'm saying. So, and there are, I would imagine that there are women who go shopping. They're not looking to get picked up. The intention of going to the grocery store is to pick up the food for the week or for whatever. But I do know that there are people, like I play pickleball, and I go to this pickleball place where they actually have social pickleball, where you can book 3 courts, and you go on an app and you just say, I want to be there at 10 o'clock, and they open it up to the public, and it's advanced, beginner, intermediate, all that kind of stuff. But like this morning, I got picked up this morning at pickleball. A woman that I was playing with came up to me, because you have to rotate, so you come off the court for 15 minutes. And she came up to me and she said, you're an unbelievable player. You should be an intermediate. And we started chatting, and I just chatted with her. And next thing I know, we're exchanging phone numbers. Yeah. So I got approached. She approached me and anyway, I just forgot about that, that sometimes it works in reverse. Women will approach a man if she's interested. So.
Exactly. So,
all right.
Had to let it be.
Okay. Anything else you want to cover about your coaching sessions? I don't know if you answered my first question. What's the number one problem in marriages that you're seeing today? So people are coming to you. What is it? Finances? Is it cheating? Is it my husband doesn't talk to me? Is it the husband coming in and saying, my wife doesn't give me sex enough? What are you seeing in your marriage counseling? Is there a trend?
The lack of validation of feelings.
Wow.
That's it. The lack of validation.
Feelings. And I'm not surprised.
And you think that you're doing it because, like, I heard you. Or you think you're doing it because I did what you said. Or you said, like, why is that a big deal for you? But it's the invalidation of feelings. And so literally with couples, creating a space for somebody to communicate their unspoken hurt of a situation is all that I really do with couples. They know what they want to talk about. They know what they want to say. It's just that there is some type of ambivalence about the other side receiving that. And so with the lack of validation for how you feel, you're moving towards a end of an abyss, because then that turns into passive aggressiveness, that turns into aggressiveness, that turns into resentment. It turns into creating behaviors of stonewalling. It creates opportunities for less connection and vulnerability. So the fundamental is that it's unspoken feelings and hurt and pain of one another. And then the branches are the behaviors that come with it. So you'll say, well, she has an attitude or she always storms out the house. But what's under that? We know the behavior, but what's under that? Or he's always, I don't know, going out with his friends and communicating with his friends. But what's underneath that? Like, what is underneath the behavior of him just wanting to chill with his boys? And it could be about sex. It could be about finances. It could be about the children. It could be about in-laws. It could be about life circumstances and choices. It could be about past infidelity or infidelity. It doesn't necessarily matter what it is. It actually doesn't. I really don't care what it is. Fundamentally, you need a space to talk about the unspoken feelings that you have been feeling for yourself and in the relationship. And I try to facilitate that because I try to get people to create skills that will improve that communication for that person. Because that person, it's a whole vessel. They have had their life before they met you. They have been unconsciously trained about how they deal with conflict and being scared or fear. Or like, those things are very real for somebody. Yeah. And it looks differently. So creating a space when you come to my office means that you've probably tried a lot to work that out with each other. Because the last resortment is usually you coming to me. Hopefully right. Before, you know, maybe there's something decided before you get a divorce. But if you're married.
Yeah.
But yeah, just you need it's unspoken, unresolved feelings of hurt.
And I'm going through my head in all the past relationships that I was in when communication breakdown, it's how you speak to your partner. So yeah. Instead of speaking at them, do you speak to them? Do you say, so I'm just imagining I'm just imagining a woman who's yelling at the husband because he didn't do A, B, and C. And instead of sitting him down and saying, hey, listen, honey, you told me you were going to do A, B, and C this week, and it's now 10 days later, whatever. It's how you talk to somebody in a relationship that they're going to hear you better. If they're going to yell or scream or wave things or throw things around, whatever, I'm going to see a mouth move, but I'm not going to hear what's coming out of it. So.
One of the things I recommend with people, and I don't do it with, I try not to do it in my counseling sessions or coaching, is don't ask why. Why is a naturally defensive word for people. It is naturally a way for you to cause anxiety within another person.
Right.
I don't care if it's saying, why did you pick onion rings over fries for your burger? You're naturally going to get defensive and anxious with the question of why. So the number one thing I would change is stop asking why questions, even if the intent is solely to really care about somebody's answer. What and how? What and how questions? That is it. Open-ended questions that allows somebody to really be vulnerable about the way that they perceive, think, and feel. What and how? So I rarely, maybe only 10% of the time, ever ask somebody in my sessions a why question, because a little anxiety when it comes to ambivalence is okay. But other than that, it's what and how. And I'm very strategic about that, on how quickly I want to ask somebody a question to provoke thinking. But if you do that with your partner, you would really be surprised of what you learn. How am I supposed to do this if you do that? What makes you sit in the car for an hour? What makes you stay out longer than that? What makes you I don't know. I had a couple who the guy could only communicate over text. He had a very hard time to talk about his feelings in person with this girl. So the question is, what makes you feel safe texting about your feelings compared to actually having that person in front of you? So there are reasons. Good and bad is not within my coaching or my therapy. I don't care if it's good, bad, perfect, non-perfect. We don't judge and put a moral behind a feeling. It's a feeling. It doesn't have a moral. But for you to understand a partner or another person, you need to understand their feelings. And those things are displayed differently between men and women, but they are still feelings. People are hurt. People want to be heard. They want to be validated. They want to be seen. They want to feel safe. They don't want to feel judged. Those things are important for somebody to feel. So if you're having conflict with that, what and how questions, not why questions.
And I could not agree more. So I have learned that the hard way, and I can only wait till maybe my next relationship, whenever that might be, and conflict arises, I'm going to try to handle it completely different. So, all right, Philip, we've run out of time. Tell the audience where we can find you online, your website, any social media you'd like them. And of course, I'll put all that in the show notes.
Of course, you can find me at pqcoachingandconsulting.com. You can inquire about my coaching programs. You can look up my courses or my books there. Or you can just, if you needed somebody to talk to, there's a contact page on me there. So everything is there for you to find me.
Okay. And you're on your basic social media?
Yeah, social media. So I have PQ Coaching and Consulting on Instagram as well.
Very good. Philip, thank you so much. A very, very insightful and very interesting perspective on the modern dating age. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me.
I'd like to thank Philip so much for joining me on today's show. What an amazing perspective. What's going on in this modern culture of dating is just still mind-blowing. I almost wish I still had the weekend rant on this thing, because I have a few things I want to tell you. But head over to the Weekend Rant podcast. I do have a new podcast called The Weekend Rant, because when I did it on here, you guys loved it, but it just didn't work. So I gave it its own home. So The Weekend Rant has its own home. But there I'm going to talk to you about some of the things we talk about on here and other things that are going on in life. The things that make you go, or really? Did that really just happen? You know, like I was just coming home from picking up my son. Like, we swap cars on Sundays because we carpool. And on the way home, there was just like this amazing amount of traffic on a Sunday afternoon. And it's not even nice out. It's in the 50s. It's cloudy. It's windy. It's not like people are like going to the beach or going to barbecue. Anyway, that's what The Weekend Rant's for, folks. So do check out The Weekend Rant and also Cultimatum, the Cultimatum podcast, which is doing very well, folks. The world of cults is exploding. And I mean, not just the cults themselves, but they're finally getting noticed in like documentaries, on podcasts, in the news, social media. And so Melody and I have a podcast called Cultimatum, and we take a deep, deep, deep dive. And we have some ex-cult members on, and they tell their stories. And, you know, recently I was reached out by a journalist from Argentina, and she wanted to collaborate on a story about a new cult she found out about coming out of Mexico. So anyway, this is the Digital Dating Podcast. We'll learn all about that on the other one. Folks, please subscribe, like, follow, leave a review, and please, please buy me a cup of coffee if you can. And until next time, Anonymous Andrew, ciao.